First of all, on behalf of the government, I want to express the very deep concerns of the government and every New Zealander at the devastation that we're seeing in the pictures coming out of Christchurch. This earthquake has caused huge damage, and you'll all be aware of reports flowing of serious injuries and loss of life. Before I go into outline some of the details of the situation as we see it on the ground, I just want to reiterate, as the Prime Minister did today in Parliament, the government's total commitment to doing every single thing we can to deal with the implications of this disaster, both in the very short term, to deal with the initial devastation, and of course working with the people of Christchurch to recover from it. The Prime Minister has left for Christchurch after chairing an emergency meeting of the Cabinet. Ministers are ensuring that their departments are doing all that they can to assist the people of Christchurch, and Cabinet will meet again in a couple of hours' time to assess the situation and to take the next steps. In terms of what's happening on the ground, government agencies and emergency services are still putting together a picture of the damage and devastation. Getting the picture together has been affected by communications difficulties, but communications are gradually being restored. Information is still coming through, and as you'll appreciate, this is a fast-moving situation. And we intend to update you as we get more information, but over the last couple of hours it has been reasonably difficult to get it. The Prime Minister will be arriving in Christchurch in about an hour, and there will be further updates then. In terms of the situation as we said at the moment, the Mayor of Christchurch, Bob Parker, has declared a state of emergency in Christchurch. Police are now working with the Defence Forces, who have extra resources there just by coincidence, to work on evacuating central Christchurch and providing a security cordon around the centre of the city and establish a strong presence there. Two urban search and rescue teams have been flown in from other parts of the country to complement the Christchurch urban search and rescue teams. The Prime Minister has spoken with the Australian Prime Minister, Judy Gillard, who's passed on her sympathies and thoughts. We've also taken up an offer from the Australians for the assistance of further search and rescue personnel. We've had a number of other offers of international help. We'll be taking up those offers where appropriate, particularly where there's relevant expertise for the task of finding people in collapsed buildings. There has been quite a lot of discussion about fatalities. We are aware of reports of a number of fatalities, but unable to confirm those. The police have mobilised their disaster identification team, and more details about fatalities and other casualties will be available from the police as they come to hand. Fortunately, Christchurch Hospital has suffered reasonably minimal damage and is open. I understand that air ambulances have already taken some casualties to hospitals outside of the Canterbury region. Ambulances from around the South Island are now heading to Christchurch, and other South Island hospitals are clearing their capacity so they can take casualties if they need to. There's been varying reports about whether the power is on in different parts of Christchurch. We're assured by Transpower that they have the grid now up and running again after some relatively minor damage. The local power company, Orion, is working as fast as they can. I understand some parts of their network are reasonably seriously damaged, but they are working to get power on to as many homes as possible. Christchurch Airport remains closed, with the runways being assessed as a precautionary measure. The Lyttelton Tunnel is closed, but the Raikaia and Waimakariri bridges on State Highway 1 remain open. Phone lines are operational, but there is significant overloading, which is understandable given the level of anxiety there will be around the country about people concerned for their loved ones. But we would ask that people use texting where possible and only make calls that are essential, because this is about saving lives and we need the communications channels to be as open as possible. I'll now ask the Minister of Civil Defence to comment on the civil defence situation.
Thank you, Deputy Prime Minister. The civil defence headquarters are operating and have been operating approximately about 10 minutes actually after we were aware that the event had occurred, and as quickly as we could, and it's been one of the difficulties we've had, we've now got good lines of communication with the Civil Defence Centre down in Christchurch, but they had difficulties in getting up and running because of the communication issue, and particularly because the Christchurch City Council building had been damaged, and as a consequence the communication between our centre and the Christchurch city itself took us some time to get that up and running. We now do have good means of communication with them. They are working closely, as the Deputy Prime Minister said, with the other agencies, the police, and in conjunction with the Army Welfare, to ensure that welfare centres are open, working closely with the health system. There are triage centres established in the town and in the city, and of course the hospital is making provisions as, right around the South Island for any injuries. We're also, the Deputy Prime Minister has mentioned that we have other teams coming in to assist, but the most important message that we actually want to give out in, right at the moment, is that obviously we will give all the support that is needed. We will have all the agencies functioning where there are gaps. We will be able to provide those from around the country to support and to fill those gaps. But immediately, people need to make sure they are safe. They need to make sure their families are safe, that their neighbours, that particularly elderly neighbours, are safe, that their friends and family are all taken care of. And they should, where possible, move out of the area which is significant damage has occurred, that is the city centre. They should take themselves to their homes if they are safe, as at the moment, and if they aren't, look to see if they can find other safe accommodation, and probably longer term look to take some time out of the city in the immediate future if that's possible. There will, we expect, to be a continuous series of aftershocks, and of course for people who have gone through now the two previous events plus the aftershocks, this will be a traumatic time for them, and so we're asking them to take care of, to look after themselves and to look after everybody else, to give them support where necessary. We will be doing all we can to support them, but they also need to make sure that they're giving every support they can to their friends and their neighbours. Thank you.
Any questions?
When
would
you be expecting additional search and rescue teams to arrive, either from other parts of New Zealand or Australia, and how necessary is that? I mean, do we have the resources at the moment to be pulling people out of rubble, etc., if that is required?
With respect to the international offers, those offers were made this afternoon and accepted almost immediately, so they will get underway as soon as they can, and most of my comment on the local moves.
We expect that the search and rescue teams from New Plymouth and Auckland will be down and operating within the next 4 or 5 hours. And of course the police in the meantime already have teams of people out there working to going through the damaged buildings to try and help and assist where they can.
And would that go through the night with those sorts of operations? Are they ones that would continue through the dark?
Yes, as we understand it, they intend to continue right starting now. They've already started, and they intend to continue on continuously until all the buildings have been gone through and evacuated.
And do you have any idea about the magnitude of the numbers? I mean, roughly how many people we're looking for, I suppose?
No, we really don't have any figure on that at the moment. I spoke earlier with Bob Parker. He didn't either, Mayor Bob Parker. He wasn't able to put a figure on it. It's one of those unknowns. We just don't have enough information at this stage, and it wouldn't be prudent for us to speculate at this time.
He said that the army was in town and was able to help out coincidentally. Why were they there?
Well, they were actually doing an exercise as it happens, and just by sheer coincidence, a good one in this case, they were available to us. And, of course, they have other resources around the country that, if necessary, will be calling on.
And in particular areas, we've heard reports of buildings where there are, you know, scores of people trapped. I mean, can you give us concrete examples where that's the case? Are there specific areas that you're worried about?
Well, again, we don't have sufficient detail to give you detailed reports about specific buildings. Like you, we're aware that there's been significant damage, that there were a number of significant hotels that have collapsed with, we understand, number of people in them, possibly. What we don't know, of course, is that whether those people were out looking around the town, whether they're actually in their rooms. It's those sorts of things that we will find out as each of the buildings are investigated and the police give us reports back.
In regard to the army situation, what are they doing now to help out?
Again, they'll be working with the police to give any assistance. One of the things that we are looking to do is secure the town centre so that just to make sure that people are safe, that we were trying to get people out of there. We just don't know what the likely threat is, and so we'd much rather err on the side of caution. So we're trying to evacuate the whole town centre if we can, and the police will cordon it off so that people can't go in or out, and the army will assist them in that regard.
Do you know how many army personnel are there?
No, I'm sorry, John, do you know they're off the top of your head?
There were two companies of infantry available pretty well immediately. Already, you must be getting a picture that the damage of this quake is much worse, both in terms of lives and damage to property, compared with the initial quake.
Correct. That's the view that we have been getting. But again, we haven't got detailed information to be able to give you an absolute understanding of what the size of the problem is. What we have gathered so far is that there is more significant damage to buildings than there was in the original earthquake. And so it's that sort of information that now, over the next 24 hours, we'll be looking to gather. But the most important point that we want to address at this moment in the next 24 hours is the safety of the people. And that's where our focus will be.
Any more information from Littleton? We've seen photos of very significant damage over there.
Yeah.
We
haven't got any detailed information at this stage on specifics. It's general stuff that we've gathered. As we get our communications going, a better flow of communications with our Civil Defence Centre, we will get those reports in. And as soon as we have that information, we will be coming back and telling you about it. It's important that you know, so you can tell the people of Christchurch.
Do you know what level of admissions have been to Christchurch Hospital? We haven't got that specific detail.
No,
do you know how they're coping, or whether other hospitals are going to be used around?
No, look, at this stage, we do know that they've evacuated the hospitals where they can to accommodate, but we haven't had specific reports at this stage. We do know that some people have been shipped out to other hospitals, but again, I can't give you numbers on this time.
Do you have any kind of general reports of schools to the cabinet, what happened in schools?
In schools, we don't have specific details, but what we do have is that we know that the schools have all been closed, that the teachers are staying with the pupils until such time as their parents can come and gather them and collect them. And if necessary, the teachers will stay with the pupils until such time as that happens. So, again, details we don't have, but we're working with with the education department to make sure that all the children are safe.
And if schools remain closed? Oh, sorry.
John, can I clarify one of the things you said in the introduction? Did you say that you wanted people to leave Christchurch if they can?
What we are saying, that over time, one of the things that might be useful if they're able, not saying immediately, but it may be useful for them to think about whether they just take a break from Christchurch.
Everybody in Christchurch?
Well, again, it's entirely up to them. We're not suggesting that everybody does, but I'm just saying one of the things they may want to consider in time is perhaps have a break.
How long do you envisage schools remaining closed for?
Oh, look, again, sorry, we just don't have that information. We don't know what damage has been done, what the infrastructure's like, whether they've got water and sewage and all those things that are important to the schools. We'll have a far better understanding of that over the next 28 to 48 hours. But there's a lot of information, as you know, the communications have been difficult, so there's a lot of information we need to gather to be able to answer those specifics.
Have you got emergency centres set up for people whose houses simply aren't
happy? We're starting to get the welfare centres set up again. That's one of the things that we're working on as rapidly as we can, to make sure there are welfare centres in place and so that we can provide assistance where necessary.
Will they be up tonight?
We're hoping that we may get some of them up tonight, but again, it's a matter of us getting the communications through and working with the appropriate people. It's our goal to, but whether we achieve that or not, we're just not entirely sure that we can right now.
So you mentioned another emergency cabinet meeting. When will that be happening?
Yeah, we'll be having another meeting about 7 o'clock.
And then we'll
have a media briefing after that.
We'll certainly, if there's new information, we'll be doing that. We'll be Prime Minister, of course, is on the ground between now and then, and we'll be getting an update from the sort of defence operation down.
How are people getting in and out of Christchurch? Is it mainly in terms of flights, you know, people coming from New Plymouth? Is it being facilitated by the Defence Force?
Yes, it is.
And the PM going down on the Defence Force as well? So, no, I mean, obviously the airport's closed.
Yes,
it was. Any advice for people, you know, maybe wanting to drive to Christchurch to find people, you know, roads and that sort of thing? What's the situation on that sort of outskirts? And do you have any messages for people about maybe not coming in, do you want them to go in and help people?
At the moment it's actually helpful if people, unless they absolutely have to, that they stay out. There is a whole lot of gridlock at the moment. There are a whole lot of people who are trying to, you know, find out what's happening. And it's actually not helpful having a whole lot of people going in. Indeed, one of the things we found last time was that a lot of very well-meaning people went in and actually caused challenges for us that we'd rather not have faced. We would much prefer that people stay away if they can, unless it's absolutely essential they go in, because it does make it more difficult for us.
Have you got any updates on the likes of the cathedral and some of those significant buildings and the damage?
We haven't had any reports on that, any other than what we've seen over the television.
Do you have any advice for the citizens of Christchurch about water or any of those services? Should they rely on it? Should they go back to the situation after the last earthquake?
I think our advice in that regard is that to play it safe, and we don't know whether the water's been contaminated. So our suggestion is that if they have access to bottled water, they should use that. If they have to use the mains water, they should boil it just to be safe. And of course, we'll be looking to do as we did last time, as rapidly as we can, provide alternative sanitation, etc., where it's required, and we suspect it might be quite substantial.
Mr. Hamilton, you've had some of the country's most senior police officers in the bunker today, Rob Pope and Grant Nichols. What are police in Christchurch telling them, and in turn telling you, about fatalities and injuries?
As the Minister said, there have been reports of fatalities. We can't confirm the numbers yet. We'll leave that to the police process to go through, particularly around victim identification and notification of next of kin. And then once that process has been followed, we'll be able to tell you.
So just to put it on the record, there have been fatalities? There have been casualties?
As far as we have been told, yes, there have been fatalities.
So the police are identifying people at the moment?
During the normal process that the police use to identify victims.
Could we have a general number before they're identified?
No, we wouldn't want to do that until you go through the next of kin and the whole process of identifying victims.
You must have a ballpark figure already of how many deaths.
No, because then in any way the search and rescue mission is ongoing, and it's going to be a snapshot if there was a number available right now.
At this stage, are we talking tens of
people? No, we're not speculating on that figure. We just do not know. We don't have that information, and please be patient. We will give it to you as rapidly as we can, but it wouldn't be prudent or proper for us to speculate on numbers at this stage.
In terms of the search and rescue teams and the Office of Health, I mean, is there special equipment that's being brought in or that you need to bring in terms of, you know, some of those large buildings?
Each of the teams have specialist equipment with them as they come down and will bring it with them. Well, indeed, and one of the things that they will then advise us as to whether they need additional equipment and some specialised equipment, we need first of all to have them there to be able to give us that advice.
Do they have dogs as well?
Yes, they do.
Have you got any concerns about looting?
Look, it's always one of the challenges and unfortunate aspects of these things, that it's possible. We would like to think that it won't happen, but it's a probability, and of course the police and the army presence hopefully will minimise it, if not completely stop it, but again, we hope it doesn't happen. We did have very small incidents of it, and we just hope it doesn't occur.
Have you had any reports of how widespread the damage is? Is it just Christchurch or are other centres affected?
No, as far as we're aware, the advice we've had so far is that it's focused mainly on the Christchurch city rather than the other districts of Waimakariri and Samoa. We haven't had any advice. We've had advice from the other areas that there doesn't seem to be any serious damage, but of course we'll get a better shot of that over the next 24 hours as well.
Mr. English, can I just get a bit more information about this international assistance? Who has offered help and what are the areas of expertise that we're looking to take up?
Well, there's been a number of offers, but the particular one that we've dealt with has been the offer from Australians for search and rescue, urban search and rescue teams. And that's an offer which we thought we should take up, not because we've got a whole lot of information about what the needs are, but because this looks like a devastating event and we like to need all the help we can get.
What other countries have also offered search and rescue help that you may be looking to take up?
Well, Mr. McCulley is dealing with other offers, as I understand it. I think there has been one from the US. There's been suggestions that the best expertise may be in Japan. These are offers we're responding to them pretty quickly, or having them available quickly, is everything. So that there may be about we'll discuss in later tonight.
Going back to the comments you made at the start, Mr. Carter made at the start about people leaving the city, are there any plans to do any evacuations? Is the government going to put in place any ways to move people around the country? Because it seems to me that just all the people in Christchurch today, they do want to get out quite quickly.
Yeah, I think that the focus right now is just around getting evacuated to CBD. As you've seen from the pictures, there's a lot of people around in the CBD and they need to get shelter for tonight.
I imagine
the issue you're raising is going to come up frequently, particularly in the case of particularly families who have just had enough.
Yeah, it seems that there's a lot of residential damage as well, that it's not so high profile at the moment, but it seems to be, from what we can assess, much more widespread than after September shock.
Yeah, look, I think you can take it as read that the government is gearing up for something larger and more devastating than the first September earthquake in Christchurch. A number of these issues we've been working on anyway, for instance, looking at issues around accommodation and how to carry the costs and so on. So there are some parts of those plans already in place because we're anticipating as a result of the September earthquake. So we're not starting cold, but these are going to be significant issues.
Are there any EQC issues? I mean, in terms of the funds, where it would come from, and also the excess that people are having to pay and the amount available to compensate them?
Well, the only point, the one point I'd make there is we are covered for this as a separate earthquake because the reinsurance was put in place after the last ones. I'd expect that there will be any number of more significant issues that arise because of the nature of this event compared to the last one.
But are people limited to the amount they can claim on their house that was damaged last time they claimed it? Is this a new event and therefore they can claim again?
Yeah, well, my advice is that it is a new event. That means that the government reinsurance was back in place and any claims would be regarded as new claims. There'll be plenty more detail on that as time goes by.
So are you aware that...
Excuse me, I think we're going to have to wrap this up.
The constituents of bonds.
So I'll just take the last one. What was that?
Are you aware of the bonds from the Earthquake Commission? What would have to happen with that?
Well, to the extent that we've got to meet some cost, the Earthquake Commission's already been liquidating some of its assets. Clearly, the impact of a large event like this is going to have a very big impact on the earthquake fund. But fortunately, we have got some reinsurance back in place. It'll be a longer-term issue, not a shorter-term.
It's going to have a big impact on the fiscals too, isn't it?
It could potentially, but as the Minister has said, the big focus right now is the safety of those people that are affected and getting the system up and running to support them.
Were you briefed on the buses that were buried under collapsing buildings?
We're just aware of it the same way as you are from the public reports.
You're not aware of whether most of the passengers escaped?
No.
Sorry, one last one. Can you give us any specifics of what the next cabinet meeting will be looking at?
Well, it'll just be an update on the situation, particularly focused on the welfare of any people who can't, for some reason, enter their homes. And I think, secondly, the strong focus on how to maintain the search and rescue effort consistently through the night and into tomorrow.
Thanks. Thank you.